Well, we certainly want to keep Christ in Christmas. But how many of you would say for our world, that can be pretty difficult? It's really hard not to lose the message of Christ with all this going on. And, you know, for most of the world, well, I can say most of the world, for most of America, Santa Claus becomes more prominent in Christmas than Jesus Christ does. And we want to make sure that we kind of guard against that. I'm going to tell a story that I heard our former pastor Mike McGinnis tell probably almost 20 years ago. But I can't ever forget it. And some of you in here will remember it, even though it's been so long since you've heard it. But when Mike was a young man coming out and he was just starting to preach and really on fire for the Lord, he had his first child. And they were struggling and didn't have a lot of money like most young couples. And Josh wanted this red steel, really, really, you know, nice fire truck, which cost $100. Now, some of us are old enough to remember back in those days, $100 was a lot for a toy. Today, that's not the case. But it was like a $100 gift for a child, a two-year-old or a four-year-old or whatever he was, because he was real young at this time. That's a huge, huge gift, and they just could not afford it. But he wanted it so, so bad that Mike finally just said, you know, we got to get this gift for him. And so they saved up, and they scrimped, and they cut corners and stuff, and they bought this truck. And they were so excited to give it to him. But Mike thought, you know, let me kill two birds with one stone. You know, I'm going to give him this gift that he really likes, and I'm going to have the joy of giving it. But at the same time, I'm going to instill in him, you know, the greatness of God and the power of prayer and put faith in him as a little child. How many of you remember this story? And so Christmas Day came, and they opened gifts, and the truck was not there. And so, you know, there was this little disappointment and stuff like that. And he says, well, what's wrong, son? He says, well, you know, I didn't get my truck. And he says, well, let's kneel down and let's pray that God will give you this truck. And so they knelt down there. Well, he knelt down, and he started to pray. And he prayed, God, I really want the fire truck. Would you please, please, please give me a fire truck? And he opened his eyes, and a fire truck was right there. And he was all excited, and Mike was, you know, of course, how many of you remember when you were in your 20s? Sometimes we don't think things through, do we? And so he was all excited, and his son was all there, and his son was just, God gave me this truck, you know, it's all real good, until that afternoon when he walked in, and he saw Josh kneeling down, praying and saying, God, please give me a pony, please give me a pony. God, please. And he realized, uh-oh, how am I going to get out of this one? How many of you have ever done something with good intentions and not known how to get out of it? Because that's not the message of who God is. God is not Santa Claus. And Christmas is not about Santa Claus. And it's not about all the things that we get. And it's not about getting God to give us what we want. I love this picture because this is the true picture of how, if we're going to have Santa Claus, this is how it ought to look. That Santa Claus is there, and we give gifts, and we give gifts to our kids. But we give them because we are celebrating what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And we want the focus of Christmas to remember why we're celebrating it, why it's so important, and why Jesus Christ needs to be the center of our lives, because he is the center of our lives. And I'm going to take this Christmas sermon, and I'm going to start it at the very beginning with John, because it starts off with who Jesus is. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. The complete expression of who God is, the essence of God, that he wants to communicate to us. And, you know, we're human beings and our minds are limited. We understand the physical. We understand, well, we try to understand the emotional. And most of us would say, I really don't understand my emotions or understand how people work emotionally. But we relate to it. And then there's the spiritual, which the Bible tells us we're born dead to. And we don't relate in a spiritual way to God. We have to have a rebirth in our hearts and a connection to God spiritually, because naturally we think of the physical and we think of the emotional, and we don't see the spiritual. And God wants us to see that the most important thing is Him in that spiritual realm in our lives and how we relate to Him like that. And so Jesus Christ, who is as much as we can possibly understand, God's word or explanation to us of the things that we don't see, so that we can connect and we can relate to Him. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's interesting, isn't it? We think if we get enough facts about God that we'll be okay. But what we really need is to know God. We need to experience God. We need to see God, and we need to stop and connect with God. And Jesus Christ, He was in the beginning, the expression of who God is to us. And all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So it starts off in the gospel story, and it tells you this. You have to understand who Jesus is. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are one. They are not three separate, different people. They are one. Jesus Christ was there at the beginning. He's not created. He is God. And He created you. And He created me. And He created everything before us. And He will create everything that comes after us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God realized that people could not see and hear Him. They were too distracted by the lure of the things of this world and their own heart that felt like it needed to be satisfied. It needed to be comforted. It needed security. It needs all these things right now, and it needs it in a way that it can hold it. And so we run after being successful in our jobs, we run after being popular at school, we run after being able to purchase that new house or that new car or having a 401k that makes sure that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We run after all these things, and they occupy our mind, and there is no time left for God. And so He seems so distant and so far away, even though He is the one who created us. And He created us for a relationship with Him. And so Jesus Christ came on earth in a form that we could relate to. He came on earth as a human being. The difference between Him and us is that everything we need to know about who God is and how we as a human being can relate to Him was in that human body that Jesus lived in. And we can't get that from another human being. And we beheld His glory, His greatness. The glory or the greatness as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All of us have a little bit of the image of God in us, and all of us have some truth, and all of us have some grace, but you put enough pressure of the world on us, and the other part comes out. None of us are full of grace and truth, except for God. And Jesus Christ, God on earth, in the flesh. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, we started off here a few minutes ago, and Alan told the story of I heard the Christmas bells. I'd never heard that before. How many of you had never heard that before? I'd never heard that before. And it just shows the darkness of the world and the loneliness that can come in the world. And then we followed it up with Silent Night. And as we were singing that, it just made me think of a picture of the Christmas story that I had never seen before. God sent Jesus Christ to this earth in the form of a little baby, completely vulnerable, completely defenseless. He set him down within 5 miles of a man who was willing to murder all the children in a town in order to kill him. And yet completely vulnerable, he sleeps like a baby. Because he knows who's in control. Because he knows what God's will is. He has life with God. He's connected with God in all his life. He has faith and he has the ability to walk with God because he knows who God is. He's the creator of the universe. In him was life, a connection with God that none of us were born with. None of us experienced until we had that moment of salvation that connected us. And then we grow in it, but all of us wish that we had the same kind of connection that Christ did. But that life that was in him was the light of men. It's not like the truth about God and how he wanted to relate to us was not contained in the Old Testament. It was. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, where we could see it actually lived out in a human being and understand that those standards were not so far above us that we could never earn God's love, because we don't have to earn God's love. It's God's love that transforms us and gives us the freedom to be able to live for him. And he was the light that opened our eyes to who God was, so instead of fearing him and feeling guilt around him, we could embrace him and allow him to change us and make us who he wanted us to be. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, I had an experience this Tuesday. I went to an elementary school here in Hamilton County because they wanted me to be Santa Claus. Now, I did have to use a pillow. There have been times when I didn't, but I did this time. And so I went, and as I went in there, my wife, who, you know, I've been out of teaching for 8 years, and I did teach some elementary PE, but that's been, 25, 30 years ago. So it's been a long time since I've been in an elementary classroom. And as we went in, my wife says, "Now you need to tell them, you know, why we're celebrating Christmas." And a little bit inside of me, I thought, well, you know, who doesn't know that? And so I went in the classroom and we had them all sit down. And I asked them a few questions, you know, get them talking and things like that about what they were going to do for Christmas stuff. And then I said, "Okay, does anybody know the reason that we celebrate Christmas?" And one kid raised his hands and said, "To get presents." And I said, "Well, if that's a good part of Christmas, and we give Christmas presents because of why we're celebrating Christmas, to celebrate it, but does anybody else know?" And somebody said, "Well, because we get to be with our family." And it went all the way around. Do you know there was one child in the classroom that finally said, "Because it's Jesus' birthday." And we're in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the darkness about who God is and who he is in our lives and who Christ is, let me tell you, it is creeping in. And it is creeping in society more than we want to admit. But for one kid in that classroom to know that Christmas was about Jesus, that tells you we got a battle on our hands. When Jesus came in to this world, he was surrounded by a world that knew nothing about God and cared nothing about God. It cared about satisfying itself, being successful, trying to get everything that it took in this world to be happy. And you can't be happy in this world without Christ. You can find some temporary pleasure, but none of us can find the joy our hearts desire without Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. He created us. He designed us. He created us with a plan and a purpose unique to who we are, that makes us valuable in the fabric of all the things he is weaving together to accomplish his will. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Almost like when Moses came to try to save the Israelites the first time. And they said, "Who made you a judge over us?" And they just could not see who he was. They could not see that God could possibly deliver them. All they could think about was trying to make it on their own. And God got pushed out. We've been studying through the Lord's Prayer. We're going to hit the next little part right here. And we've been seeing that prayer is not trying to get the Santa Claus in the sky to do and make our lives better and to get us what we want. The problem is what we want. And God wants to open our eyes to realize that we are our enemy. Prayer is aligning our hearts with God. It's being able to see who he is and understand how much he loves us, how wise he is, and to have the light turn on so that we no longer resist him or don't value knowing him. But we realize that our lives have to be centered on him because all our hope is in Christ. So the question is, how closely is your heart aligned with God's heart? How diligently are you seeking and pursuing the knowledge of God in your life? Because he is the answer to all of the things that we struggle with. We looked last, or 2 weeks ago, we had the kids program last week, but 2 weeks ago we looked at lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we started off with the temptation and realized that it's not God who's tempting us. And yeah, the devil is trying to tempt us, but he can't tempt us. It's our own hearts and what we want that tempts us. The devil's just watching to see what we want and trying to get us to go in that direction. Because the battle of temptation is with ourselves. It's not about making the world God. It's not about making Satan God. It's about making ourselves God. It's about making ourselves the most important person in the universe and seeking after what God wants. And we're all tempted, when it boils down to it, to this one thing. Will I choose to see who God is and to love him and to trust him and to walk with him and let him guide me through this path because he sees all things and I don't really see what's going on? If I trust him, he will lead me. Or do I separate from God and do I walk my own path and try through my own wisdom to have a life that is meaningful, worthwhile, and to have the things that my heart desires? The war's within us with the temptation. And we pray, God, lead us. Boy, I'm getting old, aren't I? Lead us so that I don't fall away, so that I don't fall into temptation. Because if I'm close to you, the power from your Holy Spirit taking me where you want me to be can override that desire I have to have life work out for me immediately, right now. If you think that the battle is one-on-one, just between you and the two natures inside of you, that human nature that wants to be satisfied at the moment and that born-again Spirit of God that gives you a heart that says, no, I want to worship God, you've already lost. Because there's a third player who's in there. And it is the devil. And it is the darkness and deception that he works in there. He wants to cloud your vision of who God is. And he wants to shine his light on all the things that you need right now. And he wants to tempt you to forget about what God wants you to do in your life, but to figure out a way to get it. And to make that what your value is, rather than God. That darkness that is in the world is outside of us. We got to battle inside with temptation. which comes from our own hearts and our own desires. We got to battle outside with someone who cares nothing about us. See, there's a lot of people that do not understand that we are not the center of the universe. It's not God trying to help us and the devil trying to destroy us. The devil doesn't care anything about us. His battle is not with us. His battle is with God. He wants to destroy God. The only reason he cares about you is because God loves you. Because you mean something to God. He wants to destroy the church because Christ loves the church. Just think about how many people are in this world. How long you will live. How insignificant you are. The devil doesn't care about you. His enemy is God. You're just a pawn in the game. And when we start to realize how much God loves us, and then we start to become aware that God has an enemy. And God's enemy is out to destroy the truth about Jesus Christ. His enemy wants no glory and no honor to go to him. He wants no light of Christ to shine. He wants a bushel over that light. He wants to silence that light. He wants darkness. And he wants you not to serve him, but to serve yourself. Just don't serve the God who created you. Deliver us from the evil one. We're actually in a great place in America because we are waking up. We are waking up to the fact that darkness is powerful and it is encroaching in on us. And we can't just run and hide from it. Because if we retreat and we run a hide, if we put a bushel over our light, if we withdraw the things that God has done in our life that shines out and honors and glorifies and attracts other people to God, if we shrink away from that, then all that's left is darkness. And the more we retreat, the more powerful the darkness is. And then sometimes people look at that darkness and they see that the evil one is gaining ground. He's gaining ground. Look what's happening. Look at the things that are happening around us. And they think we've got to fight the darkness. Well, let me ask you, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? We have no power over the darkness. We can't understand who our enemy is. God is the light. God is the one who shines that light that makes darkness flee. It's not us. It's not what we do. It's simply who we are. It's simply who we are. All I have to do is to just be transparent about who I am. All I have to do is not be afraid to express to you what God has done in my heart, where my peace came from, where my faith came from, why I can love and not hold a grudge. Who gave me the ability to forgive? All I have to do is praise God. But how many of you know the darkness puts on the pressure and the devil wants to destroy not you, but the praise that comes from you to God? And right now the biggest battle we face is this. The darkness says, you keep your mouth shut. I went into that elementary school and I asked that question. Does anybody know the reason that we're celebrating Christmas? You can feel everything stiffen. You can feel it stiffen. Because we're not supposed to talk about that. It is a historical fact that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. How could we be in a place in the United States and America where we can't talk about that? Or it causes feelings like this when we do. It's the power of darkness. And it is the power that we cannot yield to. And you will yield to it if you do not believe that the light overcomes the darkness. But when we know that the victory is already won. When we know that we can't understand how to battle the things of this world, and God does not expect us to. You know what he expects us to do? Love him and love others and not be afraid to say why. Be who we are. We're children of God. And we know that we may suffer some persecution from people who don't like God, who hate God. You know what? That comes with the territory of being identified with the family of God. Deliver us from the evil one. We need to pray that, because everybody in this room knows the pressure that the growing darkness around us is putting on us to not be the light. Everybody knows that there's pressure to put the bushel over your head. And right now they say, you can go home and be a Christian at home. Just don't be one at work. Just don't be one in the classroom. Just don't be one outside. Well, let me tell you something. Once the darkness grows, they're going to tell you, you can't be one at home either. Look around the world. More Christians have been put to death in the last 100 years than all of the Christians martyred in all the centuries before. And it's a cycle that's gone on, and it's a cycle that grows. If we shine the light, it will overpower darkness. But if we step back, that darkness will grow. We need to be praying that God delivers us from the evil one, and that God leads us not into the temptation to bow down to all that power. But as many, John 1, 12 through 13 continues, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. We have that right. We have that power. We have that privilege. If we follow Christ, he changes who we are. We become like Christ more and more as we follow him. That's what Cindy was talking about. It. God makes us fit for his kingdom. We can't make ourselves fit for his kingdom. He changes who we are through his Holy Spirit, renewing our minds, renewing our hearts. We have that right to those who believe in his name, who cling to him, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's why we love coming in here. That's why we love church. Because you're sitting next to people who have the Spirit of God, who has born in their hearts a new heart that longs to be created to him, longs to love him, longs to love, longs to do what God wants. And we have that spiritual bond that's in common, and we encourage and help each other to do that. We pray, create in us a clean heart, and God answers that prayer. And he sets us free to walk with him, to walk towards him. The closer we get to him, the brighter the light. The brighter the light, the more insight and understanding we have into everything that's happening around us and how God's hand is in that. The further we walk away, the less we see how God is involved and why he would even allow this to happen. And it becomes pressure. The more we walk close to God, the more we realize that all these are opportunities for the world and the darkness to see the light of God's love in us, which pushes that darkness out. This is what it's talking about in 1 John 1:1, where John goes back to the gospel he wrote, and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. In other words, this isn't something we read in a book. This isn't something that we heard from a preacher. This isn't something that we talk about in a Bible study. This is something we experience. We experience the peace of God that passes understanding. We understand what it means when all of a sudden God just lets us know, you'll be okay. Keep on moving. I'm working here. Trust me. Be true to me. I'm working in more than just you. We've seen it with our eyes. We've handled it. We understand through Christ who God is and what he's trying to say to us. He loves us. We can trust him. The life was manifest and we have seen it. And we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. Through Jesus Christ, our eyes have been opened and we see God differently than the world does. We don't see God as a judge. We don't see God as someone who is ready to punish us when we make a mistake. We don't see God as someone who makes demands that can never be met. We see God as the one who can help us become all he created us to be. The only one that truly loves us. The only one that truly forgives us. The only one that is truly patient and long-suffering with us. And who knows the potential he put in us when he made us a masterpiece. And these things I write to you, he continues, that your joy might be full. I saw an instance of this on Tuesday afternoon. And what happened is I went to a Bible study that I go to at Greenbriar Cove. And, I meet in there with a bunch of women and some of them have changed a little through the years. We got some who've gone off to nursing homes. Some have passed away. Some are still there. It's an older group. I love the group. Those ladies and gentlemen in that group have served God and have walked with God and have come to know God in a deep way so that their hearts are just full of gratitude towards God. And you think your body hurts at 50 or 60? Wait till you get 80 or 90. But they are at peace and they are full of joy. They love the Lord. They're grateful for the Lord. They understand that their lives are full of grace, that they are not who they should be, but they are people that are trying to please God and God loves them and forgives them. And we had a lady who came in about a year ago from California, and she was hired on as a helper for one of the ladies. And when she first came in to sit at the Bible study, because she didn't come in to come to the Bible study, she came in to sit in the Bible study because she's the helper of this one lady. And you could tell she was, she's checking this out. Like, well, what are you guys talking about? You're talking about religious stuff. She's expecting condemnation. And she's had some really difficult struggles in her life. She's probably in her 40s. And so at any rate, those ladies just encourage her and they talk, and they just share their connection with God. You walk in that room and what you're doing is you're seeing the life of God in these people and it opens your eyes to who God is. And she's been in those Bible studies for about a year. And we went around on Tuesday when we kind of had our little Christmas party and just said, what are you thankful for? And people would go around like that. And it came to her and she said, I am thankful for this Bible study. And I'm thankful for, she mentioned the lady's name that brought her because she sees Christ in her. And she said, coming in here in this Bible study and hearing you talk and seeing what was in your heart, it has changed my life. That is what the gospel is. If we think sharing Christ is any bigger burden than that, we're putting a burden on ourselves that God doesn't put on ourselves. He knows you can't go and find that lady with all the problems she's had and all the struggles she's had, all the disappointments she's had, all the hard times she's had, and sit down with her and tell her how she's thinking wrong. You can't do that. But if she can get in a place where she sees the true love of God being demonstrated between people, she knows that's what she's been searching for all her life, and she's never been able to find it anywhere in this world because it doesn't exist in this world. What's funny about it is we had that same thing happen about a year ago with another lady in there that those ladies reached out to and brought her in, and she knew almost nothing about Christ. And they kept encouraging her and bring her in. And she was in that Bible study for about a year. And we went around and we talked about, once again, because every once in a while we do that. What are you thankful for? And it came around to her and she said, I am just so thankful for Jesus Christ and for his forgiveness in my life and that he is my Savior. I just thought, whoa, where did that come from? Where did that come from? That is the answer to the prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Because what he wants is he wants that person's eyes closed. He wants that person deceived. He wants that person thinking about themselves rather than him. So all they can do is look at the pain and wonder why it's there and be mad at God because he didn't take it away. And they're thinking about themselves and how life should be and how it is. And they're blind. And God wants to set them free so they can say, being around these Christian people, it changed my life. It set me free. That is what God wants us to do. I love Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, a lot of times we think the Spirit says come, which it does. Everybody in this room who knows Christ has had that time when that Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of our hearts and it was just like, it was as real and as strong as anything that's ever gripped you. And you knew that God was calling you. And you were either going to push him away or you were going to come. Because the Spirit bids us to come to Christ. So does the bride. That's who we are. When we meet together, when we love one another, when we just express our gratitude for God and why we do the things we do because of what God has shown us and lead us, we're saying come. And let him who hears say come. When we hear what God wants from us and we understand what God has done for us and we understand our purpose in life as lights, then we say come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let them take the water of life freely. There may be somebody in this room who knows that their hearts are dry. You know that you don't see God and you don't walk with God and you're not connected with God. And your life is all about trying to manage things, but you can't ever seem to fill the void completely. It always runs dry again. And God says to you, come. But you know, even as Christians, when we come to God, we don't walk into heaven. We take a step, and we've still got sin in our lives, and we've still got thoughts that have to be rearranged, and we've still got things that need to be aligned to God, and we take another step and we get closer and we experience more peace, more love, more joy. We take another step. And how many of you would agree that in your Christian life, you never stop coming to Christ? We're on a journey walking towards him. And so in these next few minutes, what I'm going to ask you to do is to just bow your head, and we're going to give you a couple of minutes just to respond to whatever God is telling you. And I'm going to step down here, and I'm going to ask Sean to step down here. If anybody wants to pray with us, you can do that. If God wants you to come and pray, if you don't come up to us, then you want to just pray at the altar, then you're welcome to do that. We will not interrupt you. If you want to pray where you're seated, then that's fine. But whatever God is calling you to do, I want you to have the freedom to respond. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes to ask God to search your heart and to respond to him. Father, we are so, so grateful for who you are. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you see and care about us. And we celebrate this season in which you entered this world with one purpose, that we might see you, that the light might come into our lives, and that we might be saved from the darkness that's all around us and in our hearts. We don't want to be deceived anymore. We don't want to be led astray. We want to look fully into the face of Jesus Christ and the brightness of your greatness that shines through him. Lord, some of us have loved ones that are completely captured in darkness. Their hearts are hard. Their eyes are completely blind. And we know without you, without the power of your Holy Spirit, there is no hope. We ask you to help us, Lord, to resist the temptation to walk away from you, because we know how important it is that we are close to you. We know how important it is that your light shines through us, that our faith can be seen and our love can be felt by those who don't understand it. And we don't have the power to set them free, but we know you do. And we lift them up right now, Lord, and we just ask you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to deliver us from that evil one. And we ask you to let your Spirit shine, and we ask you to call the hearts of those who don't see you and don't know you, that are in our lives, and we put ourselves at your disposal, Lord, to be that light. Help us not to fear, but to realize there is no sacrifice, there is nothing that we can suffer that compares with the glory of what you want to do through our faith and through our faithfulness to you. So we give you our lives because they're really already yours. We want to give you the honor, the respect, and the obedience that you deserve for all you have done for us. And we thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross to pay for every sin that we've ever committed, that we might be able to pray these prayers with boldness, knowing that you love us and want to answer our prayers more than we could ever imagine. We thank you. In Christ's name, amen.